Great. A couple of weeks ago, I went to the gym as part of my routine in the morning. I do spinning in the mornings at the gym. I enjoy cycling. And when the session was done, the spinning session, when the session was done, we're now stretching. We're stretching our calves, we're stretching anything that we can stretch. The instructor started playing a certain song. I had heard this song before, but I had never really paid attention to the words of the song. And as he was playing, because we're all paying attention, they're stretching. Oh yeah, by the way, we're talking about stretching this whole month. Hey? So we're stretching, and this music was playing, and some words caught me. It's not a, you know, for a lack of a better word, it's not a saved song, you know. But we listen to songs like that sometimes, don't we? Come on now, don't try it. Be too righteous now and say, no, we don't listen to that. Well, personally, I don't buy CDs like that. I don't, you know. Whatever I buy, it has to glorify God. So this particular song caught my attention. The lyrics caught my attention. If you can excuse me for a moment, I want to play that song. I want to play that song because it has something very profound. All right? If we can play that song at the back, okay. Who knows Tina Turner? Okay, it was before your days. Now we're aging ourselves. Okay. Stop nodding your head.
You must understand. The touch of your hand makes my pulse react. That it's only the thrill of boy meeting girl while the zips attract. It's physical, only logical.
No, not watching you.
You must try to ignore that it means more.
Okay, just leave those words. What's love got to do with it? What's love but a secondhand emotion? What's love got to do with it? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? The beat is funky. You can see someone nodding their heads. I was reminding some of you of your BC days. Before Christ days. Mama Lumpy, you know this song. Mm-hmm. Before Christ. Before Christ. Yes, I want to emphasize that. Before Christ. Tina Turner makes this profound statement. She says, who needs a heart if your heart can be broken? What's love but just a secondhand emotion? I don't know who can identify with that. And this morning, as we continue, just keep those words up for me. As we continue on our series on stretching your limits, I want to talk to you on stretching your heart. I want to talk to you on stretching your heart. And these words caught my attention. I had heard this song before, but I never paid attention to the words. We started talking with the instructor, and he said to me, that's the sound of a sickened heart. That's the sound of somebody whose heart has grown cold. That's the sound of somebody's heart that has been shelved somewhere. I don't know who can identify with that. And this morning, I want to talk to you about stretching your heart. And you say, Pastor, I've given them my heart in one, but they retained my heart in 100 pieces. I gave them my heart as a complete unit, but they trampled on my heart. And you get to that point where you say, who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? What is love? Just a second-hand emotion. He says here, don't think that what we're doing here has some value to it. It's just physical. It's just logical. Let's do it, deal with it just on the surface. Don't go deeper. She was saying here, it's just a boy and a girl that have met, opposites attract. It's just physical. It's just logical. Don't talk to me about love. Love is just a second-hand emotion. In other words, when you talk about love, it's not the primary thing in my life right now. All I want is a craving to be satisfied. If you can meet that craving, that's all I need. No wonder why sometimes we talk about one-night stands. Because it's physical. Our hearts have been broken so many times to a point that right now we are not prepared to give it to anybody. And Tina Turner says, who needs a heart when your heart can be broken? Who needs a heart when your heart can be broken? Who can trust when trust can be broken? Who can be vulnerable when vulnerability can be taken advantage of? You opened up yourself to somebody and they took advantage of you. And from that moment on, you drew a line and you said, never again will I open up my heart to somebody else. Because I've done it before and I got disappointed. Can I continue this morning? Some of you are in this church and you are playing it very safe. And you're saying, I've been in a church before where I got so involved and my fingers got burned. And because of that, I will just come, listen to the word, and I go home. Why should I give my heart into this? I gave my heart to that pastor, to that church, and they abused me. Why should I do it again? Some of us are saying right now, I'm not going to give a penny to this church. I gave before, and they abused my money. I saw them driving big cars. I saw these pastors investing our hard-earned money in their own businesses. And because of that, sorry, who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? Who can forgive when your forgiveness has been trampled upon? Now, when you listen to this, it speaks of the condition of our hearts. It speaks of where people are at right now. Maybe your case is not as dire as that, but somehow, somewhere, we have closed our hearts. And that is when we talk about a closed spirit. A closed spirit. In marriages, so many times you've been disappointed by your spouse to a point where you don't care no more. You say, what's the point about fighting for this marriage? To those of you who are married, you got to rejoice if your wife is still asking you questions. If your wife is still picking a fight with you, you got to rejoice because she's still involved. Because there will come a time where your wife or your husband will no longer fight. They'll say, what's the point? He will never change. What's the point? He does not listen to me. Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? And this morning I said to you, it's time for us to stretch our hearts. It's time for us to go beyond our comfort zone. It's very easy to protect ourselves. It's comfortable to know that nobody will ever know what's going on in my heart. I don't think that is how God designed our lives to be. That is not how God designed our lives to be. God gave us a heart as an integral part of who we are. Whenever our hearts are closed, you will find that the quality of our lives deteriorates. It goes downwards. That is why when our hearts are closed, we appear to be joyful when people are present, but when we are all by ourselves, we cry. When we are all by ourselves, we contemplate suicide because there's nothing really going on inside. We're empty. One of the things that I've realized is that Some people are very loud and very talkative. I'm generalizing here. You'd find that they're using that as a mechanism not for you to get close to them. Because they know if they are quiet, you might ask one question deeper. And this morning I want to challenge you, when you engage people, don't leave it on the surface. Ask one question deeper. And you'll be amazed by the amount of detail that will come out. Where are you at? Are you agreeing with that statement that says, who needs a heart when your heart can be broken? But I believe the Lord is calling the church, is calling you and I to a place where we open up our hearts again. To a place where we can trust again. We can laugh again as if we've never been hurt before. We can dance again as if nobody is watching us. We can sing again as if nobody is listening. Glory be to God. And I'm saying this morning, let's stretch our hearts. Let's stretch our hearts. Let the river of life flow again in our hearts. And I want you to know, as a minister, as a pastor, our hearts go through a lot. Statistics says a lot of pastors have become so obese in their lives. They gain so much weight because their hearts are not in the right place. They've been disappointed so many times that they develop high blood pressure. They develop all sorts of psychosomatic diseases because of the condition of their hearts. I don't know what is your stage right now. That thing is not only affecting pastors, it affects even the congregants. Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? Now, what is a heart? What is a heart? As we're talking about stretching our hearts this morning. And this morning, I want to cover with you the whole issue of what is a heart and why we need to deal with our hearts, why we need to stretch our hearts. And next week, God willing, I'll take you through a process of how do we actually stretch our hearts? How do we actually ensure that our hearts remain healthy? Our hearts remain in a state that it can function in the way that it should. What is a heart? Now, the biblical word heart speaks of the innermost part of a man, the innermost part of a human being. That's what the Bible refers to as the heart, the innermost part of a human being. And it is made up of three aspects. Your heart is made up of three aspects. And it is important for you to acknowledge those things. Because each one of those will affect the way your life will play out. Now, the first part of your heart, or that makes up your heart, it is basically the mental process of one's life. Your heart is a mental process of your life. It is that brain that thinks. You know, whenever you think a lot, whenever you process, you know, whenever we talk sometimes, we say this guy is a processor. He's a processor because he thinks a lot. Whatever detail he receives, he doesn't just leave it by itself. He thinks about it. He mulls over it until he draws a conclusion from it. Until he draws his own conclusion based on his own understanding. So in your heart, there is a portion that deals with your thinking. Because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Whatever thoughts I allow in my heart actually decide and determine who I am. Sometimes we act out something else. Sometimes we talk something else. But our hearts are saying something different. And the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Right now, as I started preaching, and you heard the song of Tina Turner, what were you thinking about? Maybe you were reminded of certain experiences that you had. Now, your heart has a portion of it that has to do with thinking. That is why in the world we talk about he is drained, he's brain dead. We don't say he's mind dead, do we? So there's a difference actually between the brain and the mind. So the brain is the thinking part of your life. So whatever you think about gets stored up in the mind, and then from the mind, it then determines how you function. As a man thinks, so is he. So your heart has a thinking portion. What is the second aspect of your heart? Your heart has a portion that has to do with your emotions. Your emotional being. So when you feel certain things inside of you, that portion of the heart is busy at work. It is busy working. Your emotions get triggered by different things. You watch a movie, you watch a horror movie, and you become very afraid, you become very scared, and some of you actually develop nightmares. Because you have taken in these emotions that are scary, that are so fearful. It is the emotional part of your heart. So the first part is, I think. The second part of your heart is, I feel. You feel happy. You feel discouraged. You feel excited. You feel honored. What are you? What is your emotional state right now? Those of you who are in a relationship, what is your love tank like? How do you feel? Do you feel so much love, or you're running dry, you're running empty, or you're bankrupt in your love tank? That is the portion of your heart. And that is where Tina Turner said, who needs a heart if your heart can be broken? Who needs a heart when your emotions can be trodden upon? Who needs a heart if somebody can take advantage of you? Some of you used to be very nice people. You used to be very, very kind. You used to be very understanding. But life happened. And you then said, not a chance. I'm just going to put in a strong face. I'm going to just be firm. Because people have taken advantage of me for a long time. It is because of that part of your life, of your emotions, that the devil has come in, has played around with those emotions, or you've been in an abusive relationship where it has been a yo-yo like this, up and down, up and down. They've manipulated you to a point where you said, no more. Or you've been in a relationship with a guy who abused you, and you say, oh, you know what? All men are dogs. I'm not going to get married. It is because that portion of your heart has been abused. Somebody has taken advantage of it. And you said, love, what is love but just a secondhand emotion? That is the second part. So you think in your heart, you feel in your heart, and lastly, you want. So the third part of your heart is the willpower. It's when you're saying, I am willing to give myself. I am willing to do this and this. That is where decisions are made, between the rational and the emotive decisions. That is where you say, I'm willing to forgive. You have told your emotion and you say, I am willing to let go of this matter. The Bible tells us and says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Every man according to the decision that he makes in his heart. If you are not willing to wake up in the morning, do you know that your body will struggle to do that? Because your body is waiting for instructions from your heart. Does somebody hear me this morning? It is cold. And you know, if you're not willing to fight against that cold, you keep on snoozing that alarm button and you get to work late. And so when we talk about the heart, in essence, we're talking about your soul. Because you know, the soul is made up of the willpower. Your soul is emotional. Your soul is made up of your mental capacity. Basically, when you speak of the heart, it really talks of the whole soul issue here. Now, I want to ask you a question. In light of this song that we just heard, where are your emotions? How are you doing in your emotions? How are you doing in your willpower? Just the will to fight another day. You know, when you have experienced so much failure in your life, this portion of your heart becomes dormant, where you feel, I've lost the steam to fight another day. I can't fight this anymore. Lord, I've been looking for a job for a long time. Whatever happens, happens. I'm no longer going to apply for a job. I'm no longer trying to convince him to change. Your willpower would have been broken. That's why we're saying we need to stretch our hearts. There's somebody here, hear me this morning. So that is what your heart is. Your willpower, your emotions, and your thinking capacity. Whatever you allow to brood in your heart will eventually come out. That is why David came to a place where he says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you, O God." So when you think over something for a long time, you will eventually act it out. So that is what your heart is. Now the next thing I want to just talk about is the need to guard your heart. Because if we do not guard our hearts, we get to that point where we close off our hearts. You know, people don't leave God. They leave people when people leave churches. It is because they would have been so much disappointed in church. Stuff would have gone wrong. And they say, I can't do it anymore. I'm leaving. It is because their heart would have grown cold. Their hearts would have been disgruntled. And when a heart is disgruntled, it is very difficult to win that heart back again. Because they say, you know what, my heart is going to be as cold as a stone. That is why you need to guard your heart. Because when we do not guard our hearts, stuff can go wrong. See, the Word of God tells us to look after our heart. It tells us, guard your heart. When you read Proverbs 4:23, the Bible tells us, guard your heart above all else. There is so much that we can pursue in life. There is so much that we can desire to do. But the writer of the Proverbs says, above all these things, watch your heart. Above all these things, guard your heart. You see, what we treasure, we protect. What we treasure, we will guard. When we moved into our house, one of the first things we had to do was to ensure that the alarm system is working. We had one company that we were subscribed to, and we realized that they were a bit sloppy. Whenever the alarm would go, they would take 4 or 5 minutes before they phone in. We changed that company. We went to another service provider. Why? Because our house, our home, our families is so important to us, we protect it. Whatever is valuable to you, you will guard. You will protect it. You look after it. And this morning, how much protection have you put over your heart? And the protection I'm talking about is not that protection that Tina Turner was talking about, where she says, who needs a heart if your heart can be broken? That is not the kind of protection I'm talking about. I'm talking about the type of protection that allows you to still have a healthy heart to function in the area that God has called you to. That is the protection I'm talking about. I'm talking about protecting your heart to ensure that it remains true to the Word of God. To guard your heart, to ensure that it remains true to the calling of God over your life. Because if we are not careful, our hearts can be so defiled that we are not able to look at God and still trust Him. How much of our heart has been guarded? Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. For it determines how your life will play out. So the state of your heart determines the state of your life. When your heart is filled with joy, guess what? Everything else around you will feel it. They will sense it. You know, when you are in a team and that morning the boss comes with an attitude, it affects everybody. Everyone picks on that attitude and the atmosphere becomes gloomy. That is how vital the heart is to our well-being. Talking about your physical heart, no one can see the heart, but your heart is one of the most important organs of your body. Because the moment your heart stops working, everything else will stop working. When your heart is pumping the blood to the brains, you know your brain can function. When your heart can still pump your blood to your toes, you know that your toes can still function. And because of that, God ensured that your heart is very protected, your physical heart. Your heart is protected in the cavity of your chest. In front, there's the sternum. On the side, you've got the rib cage that is covering your heart. At the back, you've got the 12 vertebrae that are protecting your heart. Your heart and your lungs. You might not see them, but they are valuable. They are valuable. Now, in the same way that your physical heart determines how your body functions, so it is in the spirit. If your spiritual heart has not been protected, it will affect everything that comes out of your life. Now, I want to just highlight a number of things here, why you should guard your heart. Remember, we said your heart is made up of three things: your emotion, your willpower, your thinking capacity. And we're saying you need to guard your heart. You need to jealously protect your heart. Number one, why do you need to guard your heart? Your heart is one of the most deceitful things on this earth. That if we do not guard our hearts, the deceitful nature of our heart will come and defile our lives. Our hearts are one of the most deceitful natures of the human being. That is why you need to protect it. That is why you need to look after it. That is why you need to ask yourself, how am I doing in my heart? Why? Because the heart is deceitful above anything else. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things. The human heart is the most deceitful of all things. That is why you need to protect it against the deceitful nature of the heart. That is why you need to guard your heart to ensure that this issue of deceit is handled correctly. And desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Who really understands how bad one's heart is? And verse 10, the Bible says, "But I, the Lord, search all hearts, and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve." Who has been deceived by their own hearts today? You know, your heart can tell you that what you're doing is fine when it's not fine. The unregenerated heart is deceitful above everything else. That is why we need to ask ourselves, has our heart been fully given to God? Because as long as our hearts are not fully given to God and they remain unregenerated, the deceitful nature of the heart will ruin our lives. Please help me to understand this. Why would a husband who is married well, who has a great marriage, whose wife is beautiful, he's got everything that he needs in a wife, they still go out to a prostitute down the road? Why would a husband do that? Why would a man who has all the riches that he needs, the money is flowing, the business is doing well, but they still go down the road and they bribe their way out of certain things? Why would we do that? The heart of a man is deceitful above all. Why would you pick up the call and we say, "I am 2 minutes away from you," when you know you're still seated back home? How many times have we done that? Like, listen, I'm just 5 minutes away, but you're still coming out of your shower. And the person is waiting 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and what happened to the 5 minutes? What happened to the 5 minutes? What happened? Why do we say, "Pastor, I am so busy. And yet, when there is a show down the road, we go to the show. The heart of a man is deceitful above everything else. Matthew Henry is one of the commentators of the Bible. And he had an expose on this issue of deceit. And this is what he says. He says, there is that wickedness in our hearts which we ourselves are not aware of and do not suspect to be there. There is that deceitful nature in our hearts that we are not aware of. And we do not suspect to be there. Nay, it is a common mistake among the children of men to think themselves, their own heart, to think themselves, their own hearts at least, a great deal better than they really are. We actually think we are better than, we're better than what we think. Now he says here, this is in the nature of man. Now he says the heart, the conscience of man, in his corrupt and fallen state, is deceitful above all things. It is subtle and false. It is apt to supplant. So the word properly signifies, it is that from which Jacob had his name, a supplanter. You know the story of Jacob, where Jacob went to his father and said, I am Esau. I am your firstborn son. Give me the blessing. Even when he was born, the Bible says Jacob was holding on to the heel of Esau, his brother. So that name, the supplanter, talking about the deceitful nature of the heart. It calls evil good and good evil. Puts false colors upon things and cries peace to those to whom peace does not belong. That's the nature of the heart. That is why this morning I'm saying we need to guard our hearts so that the life that is meant to come through the heart remains pure. The heart can be deceitful. The second reason why we need to guard our hearts is this. The heart can be troubled. Our hearts can be troubled. If we do not guard our hearts, we will get to that point where we are so troubled that the last thing that remains is to take our lives away. Do you know how high the suicide rate is amongst teenagers? Amongst teenagers, the suicide rate is so high because these young ones are in that stage of their lives where the hormones are raging. And they get to question a lot of things. They get depressed and nobody pays attention to them. And the last thing they do, they take their lives away. Actually, statistics says amongst women, the attempts of suicide are more, though many of them don't actually get to the point of killing themselves. Right? The attempts are very high. But amongst men, the attempts are lower, but the rate at which they die is higher. Because when a man decides to kill himself, he will actually do it. He won't use small matters. He will use a gun. For ladies, they'll use probably different or minor issues to try and take themselves out. But what I'm trying to say here, your heart can be troubled. And when your heart is troubled, it can lead you to the worst of situations. The Bible says in John 14 verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. You need peace in your heart. You need the shalom of God in your heart. Right now, it's not time to throw in the towel. It is time to press into God, the one who can give you peace, the one who can alleviate that pressure that you're going through right now. Why? Because our hearts can be troubled. And Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. I want to speak to your heart right now. Maybe you are in that state where you're troubled. Jesus says, peace I give to you. Can somebody hear me this morning? Says, peace I give to you. Do not be troubled. Trouble is the absence of peace, the absence of calmness of your heart. When you are worried about tomorrow, when you are concerned about your situation, maybe there's sickness in your heart, and right now you are troubled because you think I'm going to die. Especially if it is one of those diseases that has taken your own relatives, you start thinking, maybe I'm the next. That can trouble your heart. That is why the Bible says, guard your heart. When your heart is struck with fear and restlessness, it can lead you to dire situations. Proverbs 13 verse 12. The Bible says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Nothing is more grievous than the disappointment of a raised expectation. That guy promised to marry you, but never come through. You get disappointed. That is why the Bible says, blessed is the man whose hope is in the Lord, not in man. Blessed is the man whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the riverside. I'm now in Jeremiah 17. But cursed is the man whose hope is in man, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert. This morning, where is your hope? Because when our hope is in man, we will ultimately get disappointed. Man can promise, but very few can deliver. But when God promises, he will come through for you. The Bible says, though the promises of God are many, and yet they are yes and amen. I want to encourage you to refocus your attention. When you've been focusing on a man to deliver, you know, so many people will promise you to give back the money that they owe you, but they deliberately forget. That's the nature of the heart of a man. And this morning, I want to challenge you to trust in God. Put your hope in God. David spoke to himself at one point when he was overwhelmed by trouble, when he was overcome by trouble. He says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" He was speaking to his heart. There are times that we need to do self-talk. In the morning when you feel discouraged, look at yourself in the mirror and say, "Why art thou discouraged, my soul?" Put your hope in God. Somebody needs to change their talk and say, "Hope in God, because he is faithful." The Bible says our hope in him will not be disappointed. When we hope and we trust in God, he will come through for us. When hope is deferred, it makes our hearts grow sick. And when our hearts are sick, we will try anything. That is why we'll try to buy ourselves out of situations. That is why we'll try things that are not of God to try and get some relief. But this morning, put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Help is on the way. Help is on the way. To you who is about to give up, to you who is about to say this God thing doesn't work, I want you to know the Bible says you might moan throughout the night, but joy comes in the morning. You might cry in the middle of the night, but joy comes in the morning. Your morning will come. Your dawn will break. All you need is just hold on. Maybe one more day for some of you. Maybe this afternoon when you go home, you'll get a better report. Hope in God. The third reason why you need to guard your heart is this. The heart can be broken. The heart can be broken. According to the gospel of Tina Turner, who needs a heart when our heart can be broken? Yes, our heart can be broken. But what do we do when our hearts are broken? How do we protect ourselves? You see, when our hearts are broken, God comes to us and he says, "Okay, give me all your heart." But what we do, we give God a portion of the heart. If God is to put together our hearts that are broken, we need to lay down everything before him. And we say, "I lay it down before you. I lay it down before you." You can trust God with your heart. Does somebody hear me this morning? As I'm preaching, the Lord reminds me of John chapter 4, the story of the Samaritan woman. This woman had been broken. Her heart had been broken by so many men. And when she came before Jesus, she thought Jesus was like all the other men. And that is how she treated Jesus. But Jesus was saying to her, "I'm a different man." You know the story of the woman at the well? When this woman came, trying to get water. And Jesus said to her, "Can you give me some water?" And the woman says, "How can I give you some water? Samaritans and Jews do not cohabitate. They don't do this together. I don't know what you're saying to Jesus when he's coming to you and he says, trust me one more time. When he says, depend on me. When he says, put down all these guards that you have. Trust me." I want to encourage you today. Try Jesus again. The heart can be broken. David's heart was broken so many times. But one of the instances that stood out for me when his heart was broken, the first one was when Jonathan died. You know, Jonathan and David were very close. These were covenant brothers. They were so close that though Jonathan was meant to have taken on the throne, but when Jonathan knew that God had actually called David to be king, he said to David, "My brother, you are the one who has been appointed to be king. When that happens, remember me." There was a covenant between David and Jonathan. And when Jonathan died, David mourned. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26, David says, "I am heartbroken over you, my brother Jonathan." When your heart is broken, stuff can happen. You can lose all hope of the future. I don't know what you have lost. I don't know what you're grieving over. But when you are going through your grieving moment, your future looks very bleak. I remember when I lost my dad when I was only 15. The future looked bleak. I did not know how I was going to play out. My mom was concerned because I was the only son. She was concerned, what am I going to do with this boy? At a time where he needed his dad, the father dies. I don't know what has died in your life and your hope has been dashed. And I'm saying this morning, put your hope in God. When I placed my hope in God, he preserved me. I remember in that moment making a prayer. I said to God, "You did not look after my father. You took him away. You better be my father from now on." And oh boy, God came through and he became such a father. He provided men in my life who took on the father figure. And I did not lack. I placed my hope on God. I don't know how I did it. It was just his grace. And this morning I want to challenge you. In your dire situation, can you trust God? Can you believe that he will come through for you? David says in Psalms 27, he says, "I would have been discouraged had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I would have been discouraged. I would have thrown in the towel had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Isaiah 1 verse 18, the Bible says, "If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land." I want to challenge you this morning. Put your hope in God. And David comes to a place where he says, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." There is a rock that each one of us need. There is a rock that you need that has to be higher than you. Don't come to me. I'm not higher than you. But there is a rock called Jesus that is higher than us. A rock that we can find refuge in. A rock where our lives can be preserved. David says, "When my heart is overwhelmed by trouble, when my heart is overcome, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Now, your heart is a wellspring of life. You need to understand this, that your heart is a wellspring of life. Its outflow will touch everything about you. You see, when you talk about the spring, when you talk about the source of water, if you want to defile the waters, you don't make the waters dirty downstream. You make the waters dirty where it is coming from. Where the water is coming from, at the spring. If the spring is bitter, the river is bitter. If the spring is sweet, the river is sweet. So many times we go for the river, not knowing that they can cut the spring off. Go to the source and you will be amazed by what God will do, because he's the source of life. Your heart is the wellspring of life. Now listen to this. The condition of your heart will determine the quality of your life. The condition of your heart will determine the quality of your life. Mark 7, verse 21. Very profound. The Bible says, "For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts." When we prejudge people, when we discriminate people based on how they look, based on how they talk, it all comes from the heart. It says here, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, everything that you can think of doesn't start from anywhere else, starts from within. So if you want to change a man's behavior, do not change the outside. Change the heart. Change the heart. You know what we try to do most of the time? We try to do what I call behavior modification. We try and coach ourselves into behaving in a certain way, but leave the source unchanged. As long as the heart is unchanged, our behavior will not be changed. That is why you can take a murderer to the prison. You can close them up for 12 years. They come back, they still commit the same crime. Why? Prisons don't change people. It is when God touches a man's heart that behavior can be changed. He says here, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil heart, evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. That is why I'm saying the condition of your heart will determine the quality of your life. Secondly, the condition of your heart determines the levels of temptations that you will succumb to. The condition of your heart will determine the temptation that you can't overcome. Though God would have said, there is no temptation that I've allowed to come your way that you won't be able to overcome. In the eyes of God, he says, I have made provision for you to overcome. But because your heart, my heart, is not in the right place, I succumb. James 1 verse 13. The Bible says, and remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. Why? Because God is never tempted to do wrong. He never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires. Where are desires stored up? In our hearts. Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord and he will grant you the desires of your heart. So whatever is in our hearts, we act it out over time. Now he says there, temptation comes from our own hearts, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to sin, to death. And this morning, what desires do we have in our hearts? Thirdly, the condition of your heart will determine what you say. The condition of your heart will determine what you say. How many times have you heard people saying, I did not mean to say it. That's not what I meant. I'm not racist in my heart. It just came out in the heat of the moment and I called you that name. No, you're lying. It's coming from your heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we say, no, I don't discriminate men. I don't discriminate women. I'm not chauvinist in my view to life. No, that's not who I am. No, that's what you are. Because you know what? When pressure is applied on us, when you squeeze a lemon fruit, what comes out? Lemon, right? So whatever is inside and pressure has been applied, it will come out. If we are racist in our hearts, we will speak it out. We can try all this modification of behavior, and we are very careful with what we say, it will eventually come out. Change the source. If you think that women are not good at all at what men do, it will come out over time. We will hear it. The condition of your heart will determine what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What we say flows from what is in your heart. Matthew 12, 34. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That is why David says, Lord, search my heart. This morning, somebody needs to go home and say, Lord, search my heart. Is there any prejudices in my heart, oh God? Search my heart. Deliver me from my own heart. Deliver me from the calamity that is in my heart. And eventually, the condition of your heart determines your belief system. The condition of your heart determines your belief system. You know, our hearts are prone to be defiled by false beliefs. When you believe the wrong things. Hebrews 12, 15. I want to correct something here. So many times we use this scripture to speak of bitterness. Bitterness that comes because of what people have done to you. We use this scripture. All right? That's the wrong context of the scripture. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. We use that, okay? It sounds okay. It is true that we mustn't allow bitterness into our hearts because it defiles many. But the context of this scripture was talking about false doctrine. When the Bible talks about bitterness, it talks about that bitter taste that you find if you bite onto something that is bitter or a bitter fruit. And now here the context is talks about false doctrines. It says, be careful lest a root of bitterness or a root of false doctrine comes into your heart and then it defiles everybody else. Because when you carry a false belief, you will speak it out. You tell people about the wrong understanding that you have, and as a result, it defiles others. Yes, there is a place where we need to protect our hearts from bitterness that comes out of people mistreating us. But the context here is bitterness that comes out of false beliefs. When we know what the scripture says, but we choose to believe something else, or we rationalize the word, and we say, you know what, it was then. You know, these days we're talking about the whole issue of same-sex marriages. What is the view of the church? Romans chapter 1, we say, it doesn't apply to the church. That has allowed many people to come to a place where they compromise the scriptures in order to suit the current trajectory. Is there any false beliefs in our hearts that can defile the people who are around us? When God says marriage shall be between a woman and a man. That is what the Bible says. The constitution of this country says one thing. But remember, when we are being judged, we will not be judged based on the constitution of the country. We will be judged based on the word of God. So they can say whatever they want out there, but every child of God must understand that ultimately our constitution is the Bible. Glory be to God. Is there any root of bitterness in our hearts that can defile us, that can defile the people around us? I'm talking about the heart. Next week, we're going to go out to the journey on how. How do we guard our hearts? We know what the heart is. We know why we need to guard our hearts. But you're asking, but how do we do that? How do I forgive somebody who cannot be forgiven because of how dire the sin they have committed against me? Let's bow our heads and pray.